When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Asha Arnold, investment consultant, Mr. Money Talk. Pat, reporting live for the final day, reporting from Fort Myers here.
What a day. Boy, Judd, you and I were wrong. We were guessing that we wouldn't see buck until March 15th, but they're going to try it out today, see if it works. I didn't realize, you know, I saw him play a game in St. Paul last year, right? And he played over there twice. They didn't hit him any balls. But for the Twins, what was Phil Miller's math? 554 days since he's been in center field for the Twins? Yeah. Wow. Unbelievable. He's trying to be as, I'll give him credit, he's trying to be as optimistic as he finally can, as he can. And interesting enough, the guy they got yesterday, Margot, can play center field, but Michael Taylor's a much better fielding center fielder than Margot is, so they must be fairly confident. I don't know. Because Margot is more, I think they're more, Margot is more batting for, you know, hitting against lefties for either Wallner or Kepler, I would guess. So
yeah, although Margot, last year he only played like 150 innings in center field. The 2 years before that, he played, I think it was 800 and maybe 700 innings in center field. Yeah. And his metrics anyways were really good as of 2 years ago. Not as good as Michael A. Taylor, but you can stick him out there.
I talked to Mark Topkin, who's been covering the Rays forever and is probably one of the best beat men in the country. And he said his fielding was down a bit last year, they thought. But it is interesting. They gave him the 7 and the 10. You know, they gave him the $19 million contract. But it was backloaded. So then when they traded Glasnow to the Dodgers, they made the Dodgers take Margot, right?
Yeah,
as part of the deal to get rid of the salary. But Tampa actually gave $4 million to the Dodgers, which is really weird, to make that trade for the two younger guys. And then now the Twins got that back and a little more, Falvey admitted yesterday. So I think his salary's 10 or 11, but the Twins are probably only picking up 5 of it or so.
They're picking up 4.
Yep, and the Dodgers, he's got a $12 million team option for 25.
Yeah.
That's a $2 million buyout that the Dodgers are going to pick up if the Twins buy him out.
The Dodgers are getting that, too, and the odds of the Twins not buying him out are probably a thing. Wait, can you buy a guy out and then bring him back for half season? You can't you?
Yeah,
right?
I think so.
I mean, if they like him a lot, you know, he'll never, in the modern structure of baseball, unless he rips it up, this year he's never going to get his 12, you know, anywhere, but you know, he's a good player, and I guess he's a hell of a guy, big personality, and all the Latin guys kind of assemble around him, and he's a popular guy. So we were hearing rumors that the Twins were talking to Kiki, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And it must be the Dodgers saying, we want Kiki. Do you want Margot?
What's it going to take to end this stare down? We'll give you Margot.
But I think they like Kiki because he can play all over, right? And the Twins don't need one of those guys. They got, you know, they got a bunch of guys that can play all over. They got Austin Martin. That's what they're doing with him down here, is having him, you know, playing the outfield, play all over the infield, super utility. I don't think he's not going to start the year with them, but he could end up here. Willie Castro's fate is going to be interesting. I mean, he was really good for him last year. They like him a lot, but this kind of reduces his playing time considerably, I would think.
Yeah. Right? It also, I mean, on Austin Martin too, it kind of, you don't have to keep him on the 26 if he's not ready now, too, right? With Margot coming up. But wait, what have you learned about Austin Martin? He was in left field for the Grapefruit League opener, right? So what have you kind of, you talked to him a couple weeks ago.
I was really thinking they were, you know, I actually wrote it when I wrote a feature on him, and he kind of thought it too, that he'd be playing a whole lot of center field. because they were looking for the other center fielder. But apparently that was never their idea, because all the time when camp first started, he was taking all his workouts were in the field, in the infield. But I think they really feel that he can play second, short, third, and anywhere in the outfield. So he's probably going to be one of those guys. But what's interesting about Margot, though, is it's a little different than the Joey Gallo pickup, right? This is a guy who can run.
Yeah.
And is a hitter, no power, though. I mean, right. he had 4 home runs last year. So are we now switching philosophy? Do we want to now get the ball and play?
This is right. They went so far down the path of we don't care about strikeouts, and they kind of thumped their chest about it. But they swapped out Joey Gallo and Michael A. Taylor, who were two of the top 7 strikeout rates in all of baseball, for Carlos Santana and Manny Margot, who both rarely strike out.
That's a very good point, Phil. I was just thinking, I forgot that Taylor's strikeouts were that high. But I'll have to, when we get Falby today, I'll have to, are we now hit the contact club? We give it up on hitting nothing but home runs? It is an interesting transition, that's for sure. And I think did the game switch a little last year and caught them, by surprise, that with the running and the people running and stealing because they came up with the new rules to encourage running? And I don't know if, but it is, I mean, Santana, he'll strike out too, but he also walks 120 times or something. You think he's going to be a regular? I don't know. Is he?
I think so. Yeah. He's their best. He should be their first baseman, really. More days than not.
Depends upon Kirilloff, too. Well, the one thing we keep forgetting is they have a DH spot open now.
Yeah.
You know, with Buxton playing, so they can, all of these guys can, you can play a couple of them at the, like Kirilloff. Kirilloff's a good first, he's an okay first baseman, but he has not, I have only seen him bat 5-6 times this spring, and he's not killing the ball yet, but, Who knows what his is? Bringing in Santana does make you think they might be more worried about him than they are Buxton. I don't know.
Well, yeah, my classic spring training overreaction so far, Pat, through 3 days, is I believe Kirilloff again today is batting leadoff. So they're clearly trying to get him as many at-bats as possible, quick and as quickly as possible to see where he's at.
And they let him, they kind of let him stay in the game the other day longer than the other guys did. So. It's an interesting day. You're just gonna sit there and just make it through 4 innings, buddy. Take it out.
Is Buck gonna play 4?
He'll play 4, but
all right.
And then probably get his third at bat. They might let him get a third at bat. I don't know if they'll let him get a third at bat. If they get away with 4 innings, did you see? He's goofy though, man. He'll give you some goofy quotes. Did you see his quote to Phil Miller? Says, I hope I drop one in the first inning because it always makes me concentrate more. What the?
I want to get the drop past me, so then I won't. Yeah. His quote was, once I drop one, I'll never drop one again.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, whatever you got to do to lock it in, I guess.
It is spring training.
Yeah, that is true.
So tomorrow is the biggest day to find out. Does he wake up with inflammation or something crazy,
that's,
right?
That's probably true, yeah. Although he's been running and, he's been doing all the stuff, so. But it's, the whole picture changes if he can play. We'll find out. But we talked about it the other day. If it was this simple, it's taken a couple of flaps out. Why did it take 2 years to do it? Why didn't we take those flaps?
Can we print the flap and signed off on it? That flap's no problem. Don't worry about that, Joe. Let's get done here and go.
Yeah,
go
who's
to Murray's.
The flap guy? The flap guy.
I didn't even know there was a flap.
Can we preemptively get rid of other players' knee flaps too? Just to
right. Anytime, whoever found the flaps, let's send all our guys to him. From now on, when they have bad knees and bad shoulders and everything, it would be miraculous. But he's, you're rooting for him. I mean, I don't think he's a slacker. You? I don't think he's a slacker.
No,
I think
not
he
at
wants
all.
To be. I think he wants to be a great player. He just, you know, he's got the bad, as I say, he's got the bad skeleton. You know, it's just, yeah. You know, I mean, the guy was a fantastic running back in high school in Georgia football, and a fairly well-populated school too. So it wasn't like in the lower class. He might not have lasted long in the SEC. I think he was going to go to Georgia though. I think he was recruited by them. So,
see, there's some fun. Joe Maurer as a Florida State quarterback, Byron Buxton as a skill position player. I mean, to go back and replay some of these careers would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So what do you think of Miguel being down 58 pounds? I contacted Rhett Bollinger. I sent Rhett a picture of Miguel and I together in 2015. And I said, one of these guys is back where he was in 2015, you know?
Yeah.
And he laughed and he says, he looks great, but unfortunately, every time he's batted so far, he struck out. So,
has he set the record for number of times showing up to spring training, 30 or more pounds lost from the last time he showed up to spring training? Because I know he's lost 30 pounds at least twice with the Twins.
But the one year that he looked good again was pandemic. You know, when they went home and he went home and ate. He celebrated the pandemic by gaining 50 pounds back, and he was never good again. But I think, were you down there this spring when he showed up? I mean, he showed up big in 16 and 17 and 18 or so. One of those years, he just showed up enormous. He was over 300 and they were in a complete panic. And I mean, he's a left tackle by nature. He could, you know, he could play at 300 in the NFL, don't you think? So
probably.
I mean,
he's played 300.
His strikeouts are fine in football. You have to swing a bat.
Across his back, he's huge, but yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm glad that I'm still here for one last ball game down here to see the Buck out there. And, you know, we can cheer for him to drop one. That's
what we're running for. Yeah. Meanwhile, the greatest negotiator in the history of professional football and his camp put out a video yesterday, Kirk Cousins. So day one of the combine, it's the center of the NFL universe.
Yes.
Agents, general managers, everyone descends upon Indianapolis and scheduled bang right off the bat Monday morning, Kirk Cousins' Twitter and Instagram accounts. Hey, look at me. He was on a tennis court for some reason. He was throwing passes, dropping back off the back foot, the Achilles foot, and throwing passes, showing the world, look how great I feel. Don't forget about me when you're writing out $45 million checks here in a couple weeks. Teams.
And by the way, with the $30 million increase in the salary cap, he ain't taking no bargains, I'll tell you that. You can get him a little over 40, right? But who wants him? Beyond the Vikings, who wants him?
There's a list of teams that might. Like who? That's a thing.
The Atlanta,
Falcons,
Raiders.
The Falcons make
sense. But Atlanta.
Denver's out there.
Doesn't Atlanta know they're bad? I mean,
but that's the thing, Pat. Atlanta can win that division. Yeah.
It just takes one
team. The division's the AL Central. So,
that's the point.
That's true.
Takes one team.
What do we really think about these guys? What do we really think about the Vikings? If they got a chance to give up another draft choice and draft eight and get one of the three quarterbacks, they got to go that route. They can't commit to Kirk, don't they?
Well, you would think so.
You get one of the three guys. I don't know. Except I saw some mock draft that had a couple of those guys slipping, but they're probably going to go 1, 2, 3, right?
One and two for sure, and then it looks like there might one of the like the Commanders or the Patriots could trade out, and then it gets kind of chaotic. But yeah.
So is everybody convinced that the Bears are going to take Williams then
actually in his retirement column, Peter King basically sleuthed down. He thinks the Bears are going to trade that pick. He thinks the Bears. He went through a scenario where the Bears are going to trade from 1 to 2 with Washington, move down to 8, and end up with 9 first or second round picks in the next 2 years.
Wow. Peter I don't King, know, though. What you'd have to be seeing flaws in Caleb Williams then, right, if you did that. I mean, you'd have to say the guy's got an erratic personality and he's kind of a big timer and all that stuff. But, you know what, though? If the Bears do that, Caleb Williams is guaranteed to turn out great. It's going to backfire on them if they do. And then, and poor Justin Fields, if you pass on Caleb Williams, he's going to get, every time he throws an incomplete pass, they'll be booing the hell out of him if the Bears can't win a game. So it is quarterback mania in the modern NHL, NFL is just amazing. I mean, it's, we've come a long way from, what difference does it make? We won't play him for 2-3 years anyway. We'll have some old potbellied guy play for 2-3 years before we break out this guy. And now it's all that matters in the draft is who's going to get which quarterback and who's going to be wrong about the quarterback.
Yeah. But the, like you said, the $30 million jump, and it's the second biggest percentage jump. It's the biggest cash jump in history year over year. And there's a lot of Vikings fans saying, oh, this is great. Now we can afford to sign Kirk. And this is like, well, wait a second. No, this is inflation for the league. This doesn't mean that you exclusively have more money to sign Kirk. It means everybody has more money to sign Kirk.
What this tells you is how much money are those thieves making that they have to admit they owe the players $30 million a team per year.
Right.
It means they're making like $150 million more. They're still screwing the players because they got D. Morris down there living in a.
No, he's gone now.
Well, then
it's some new guy. Who knows?
He's probably got the mansion next to D. Morris down there in Curacao or someplace in the Caribbean. So it's who is the guy? Who is the guy? Just
I'll have to look up the name, but. I guess it's a guy who's a little bit more difficult than Morris was, seeing as how they ramrodded everything they wanted by him.
Isn't this deal low like 8 years or 10 years or something? Isn't the current one long?
Oh, the CBA is, yeah. But the thing is they made so many billions off of their new media deals and stuff that they're like, oh, the accounting is great. This is a lot like, though, do you guys recall about 5 or 6 years ago, there was a similar jump in the NBA salary cap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everyone just started to throw around
spent the money
at like stupid investments. And then like a year.
Didn't Mike Conley get the highest contract in the NBA for a period?
He might have. And I remember like there was a couple big men who got paid ridiculous money and it's like they're not even that good.
Al Horford. Yeah.
This reminds me of that.
Yeah. Well, I'm always rooting for the, I don't really care about the players in any other sport except these guys that are out there.
You should love Kirk.
These guys are all going to be, 52 and somebody feed them with a spoon. And, they should get all the money they can while they can enjoy it. That's what my theory on those guys is, when those thieves are making this incredible amounts of money. So,
but you should love Kirk, Royce. Kirk is your guy.
Yeah, I don't like Kirk.
Do you know what he's done for the Players Association? Like he's the poster child for ripping off the owners instead of him being ripped off.
Yes, he is the poster child for how much of that contract do we have to pay you? 100%. He's the first guy to say 100%. It's every time I ran into Chad Greenway at one of his daughter's basketball games this winter, every time I see him, I think, they made you take a 50% pay cut, played you 400 and some plays, and never gave you a nickel back. you weren't going to be able to start. Then somebody got hurt. You played every down, and they didn't give you your money back.
I think they've got his Grey Duck vodka inside some of those mixed drinks in U.S. Bank State. I think he's getting it back on the business end now, in fairness.
All right. That's good. But, it's a big day here at the Ball Yard. I wonder, Phillies are in town, which you mean you see a lot of fans here, but you won't see the Phillies. You won't actually see the Phillies.
They're not coming down from, was it Clearwater? No. Is that where they
are? We're not going to see Bryce playing first base, I can guarantee you. We can, you're not, if you, You're going to see the correct laundry. Okay, they talk about teams, college fans rooting for laundry. There's baseball spring training. You're rooting for the laundry.
Actually, no one's rooting for this laundry. The Fanatics uniforms apparently have not been. Have you been getting feedback from the players and the messed up names on the back and the thin material? Have you followed
the material? Apparently, it could be a sweat. They're going to be able to see your manhood or something. You know, they got these linens. They look like one of these old Paul Newman movies from the 60s in the South where they're all walking around in a white suit, Burl Ives and guys like that, you know. What a bunch of morons. I don't know. Let's go back to wool. Let everybody play.
I agree, yeah, 100%. Let's go back to wool and riding trains. Let's just go back all the way. Yeah,
the drooping wool unis. Come on, let's go back there.
Those guys are playing. Think about those uniforms from 100 years ago. It's like it's like wearing a winter jacket for 3 hours in the middle of July.
And then you went back to a hotel without air conditioning in St. Louis or something like that. It was a little different world, that's for sure.
Yep. So, all right. Well, keep an eye on Buxton's knee for us, and we'll see how he makes it out.
I'm praying for him. If he's going to have problems, let it occur later in the week, okay? Because I got 400 words. I hate to throw them away for no reason. So, all right.
Thanks, all right, Matt. Sounds good. There he is, Royce Unchained here on Score North.